You know, I was thinking about it, and this song hit me hard. And the worship this morning is filling me up, which I needed. And what I realized is God doesn't just want us to ignore what's going on in the world. But he doesn't just want us to send us out in the world half-cocked, like we're going to just run on our own fuel until we run out of gas. So if you are here this week having been completely frustrated by the news, God wants you to draw His Holy Spirit into your life more than ever before and walk through that frustration with Him. If you're angry right now, God doesn't want you to just go out and attack whatever it is that needs to be confronted. He wants you to draw strength and power from His Holy Spirit and let Him go with you into those situations. If you have been hurt by the reality of what's going on in our world, God doesn't just want you to keep plowing through life hurt, wounded. He wants you to draw into Himself and to allow His Holy Spirit to baptize you so that you can then go in through with and let Him sit with you in that hurt. When there is injustice that needs to be tackled, God doesn't want us to just plow into that. He wants us to draw our breath. Remember the words for Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Ruach. In the New Testament, Pneuma, breath of God. His presence wants to be with us in every situation. And that's why this call to worship at this church is so vital and so strong. And we are looking at what does it mean for us to be Spirit-driven and how can we live that out missionally in our lives today. Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for You. Unless You speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us Your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, think of this. 2020 in hindsight. We say hindsight is 2020. That's an old expression. But the truth is there will come a day when 2020, the entire year of 2020, will be reduced to a few sentences. All the ugliness of the virus, all the jobs lost, all the businesses downed, all the politics, the racism, the riot, the injustice, the killings, the endless news stories, they're all going to be drawn down to a few sentences when someone says, well, what were you up to in 2020? So my question this morning is, what story do you want to tell? What story do you want to tell about 2020? We're about halfway through it now in the month of June. It's interesting how people condense big chunks of their lives to a few sentences. Take high school. 4 years of studying, of breakups, maybe sports or clubs, and really, really cool music if you were there when I was there. And if someone asks you about high school, you get about 3 sentences to say anything about. 4 years of your life where you went through so many changes. College, it's the same thing. Someone asks you, you condense your college experience into about 4 sentences because now college is just a part of the story you tell. 2020 hindsight. Regardless how big your life is, how complicated your life is right now, at some point it's going to be nothing more than a story to tell. And then there will come a day when it is a story that others tell about your life. What's yours going to be? For example, it could be something like this. Well, in 2020, I lost my job. That's when I started seeing other people. That's when I rediscovered partying. Or you could say something like this. In 2020, I lost my job. That's when I started, I told my husband, I'm not going to allow the stress to derail me or to destroy our relationship. I'm going to pray. I'm going to connect with friends. I'm going to live generously, even if I don't feel like I know where everything is coming from for us. Maybe your story is, I'm going to stop griping and I'm going to start making a difference in other people's lives. What a great second half of 2020 that could be. The dilemma is this, and there is so much coming at so many of us. Whatever it is that you're facing, we forget to ask, which is the most consistent with the story I want to tell? Do I want to tell a story of how I fell apart and how I didn't reach out to anybody and all that goes along with that? Which story do I want to tell? Or how about this? 2020 was the year that I began to live missionally. I discovered God's Holy Spirit, and God became so real to me. I had peace for the first time in a new way in the midst of these pandemics and the protests, the violence, and the turmoil. For the first time in a long time, I stopped being led by the news media and people's opinions of me, and I started living my life for God. Sort of like when Jane Fink said to me, "Honey, why don't you stop being a people pleaser and start being a God pleaser?" That was a huge turning point in my life. How about that for you? Why don't you stop being a people pleaser and a news watcher and start being God-led? And it doesn't mean we ignore the news. And I want to look today to the story of the movement of the people of God, a story for a limited time that changed the world when they were led by the Holy Spirit. But I want to say something else too. First of all, you need to know this. People have often thought of Christianity as a white person's religion, pasty white, like me. But do you know what? No one could imagine the day when that would change, because Christianity went into Europe early on, as well as other parts of the world, Asia and into Africa. But in our lifetimes, no one could have imagined that it would change from that. For the first time in history, the African continent will have more Christ followers because of the continent-wide movement of Christianity that is happening there. And it is not just happening there, but all across the global South, in South America and in Asia. Do you know there are more Anglicans in Nigeria than like in the rest of the world? Do you know if an alien were to come to our planet and say, "Give me what would be the most representative sample of what a typical Christian, Christ follower, Holy Spirit-led person would be," do you know who that person would look like? It would most likely look like a 22-year-old Nigerian young woman. That's the face of Christianity. Add to that the incredible growth all over the South. And here's the deal, folks. We have yet to learn what we have yet to learn from the global Christians that we may know. And the truth is, they don't owe us for their faith, but rather every one of you, including me, owes your life in Christ to some unnamed Christians who chose to tell a different story from their local culture, who chose not to be so afraid of awkward that they never reached out in any way for anybody else. They chose now that they would not just inherit the culture and the attitudes of where they came from, but instead would allow their culture and their attitudes and the culture that they found themselves in to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit with the good news of Jesus Christ. If you brought your Bibles with you, and if you're joining us at 11, bring your Bibles. There's no PowerPoint. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Acts means Acts of the Apostles. It's the life of the early church. Now, we're picking up in verse 13, chapter 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus, the island country. Now, what's going on in Antioch? Well, here's what happened. A persecution broke out in Jerusalem. Christians were being killed, and Jesus' early followers had to scatter. One group of the scattered Christ followers traveled to Antioch, which was in Syria at that time. And they had great success. And so the head church in Jerusalem, where many of the 12 disciples still were, sent a leader named Barnabas to see what was happening there. Barnabas, his name means son of. Bar means son of. Nabas means encouragement. We talked about courage last week. Well, apparently Barnabas was wise enough to realize that he needed help. So he found Saul, who was still called Saul. He didn't instantly change his name to Paul when he met Christ on the Damascus Road. So Barnabas finds Saul, and he brings him where for an entire year, Acts 11:26 says, for an entire year, they met with the church, and they taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. You know, today, just like Barnabas knew that he needed Saul, some of you are waking up to the fact you need some people in your life. You need some friends. You need someone to bounce something off of that you're thinking of. Friends walking with you, doing life, calling you out, calling on you, laughing with you. And I'm telling you, if you want to go the next step in your life, in your faith walk, in that friendship, if you want to grow a friendship, tackle some God project together. Tackle some God project together. Be partners in crime of something that needs doing, that represents Jesus and shares by the power of His Holy Spirit welling up in you into the lives of somebody else. And do it with a partner. Then, Acts 11:20 says this, some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. These are unnamed believers. Listen, you don't have to be Stephen Furtick. You don't have to be Andy Stanley. You don't have to be Matt Hook. All you've got to be is yourself. These unnamed believers were coming and they were crossing cultural barriers, telling the good news of Jesus. That's all they had to be about. This was before Paul's first missionary journey. This was when all the Christ followers were still Jewish, basically. But they were beginning to become aware of Jesus beyond the Jewish culture. And these unknown disciples from Cyprus and Cyrene broke the barrier of culture and race and class and religion. And we owe them. Christianity from the beginning has been multicultural. It's only natural that it takes over all over in the world. Then, besides Barnabas, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One named Agabus stood up in the crowd and predicted a severe famine over all the world. This is all in chapter 11 of the book of Acts. Now, you'd expect the church in Antioch, which is full of refugees from the persecution, to say, let's meet our own needs first. Let's make sure we've got our bases covered. They didn't. Listen to what happened in 11, 29, and 30. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. The church in Antioch didn't blink. They didn't calculate. They didn't wait and say, what should we do? They heard the need. They didn't calculate how much the believers in Jerusalem might need. They gave before the famine. Now, look again at chapter 13, verse 1. The leadership of this church in Antioch was incredibly diverse culturally, ethnic diversity, economic diversity, educational diversity, geographic diversity, cultural diversity. Barnabas, he's from the island of Cyprus in the western Mediterranean, which is very close to Turkey. It's half connected with Greece, half connected with Turkey today. Barnabas was once rich, but probably not so much any longer, since he sold his property and laid the money at the feet of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. And then it talks about Simeon, who was from Niger. The word Niger means dark-colored, dark-skinned. He was African. That's all that means. Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene is in Africa. It's on the northern part of Africa where Libya is today. And then Menaean. Menaean is or was Herod Antipas' aristocratic friend. The Greek literally means he was breastfed with along with Herod. There you go. Saul, he was the Roman Jew from Tarsus, which is in south central Turkey. He's a trained Pharisee as a Jew. The bottom line is this church in Antioch is the perfect launching pad for mission. It's the perfect model for us of how to be ascending people, how to go based on where the Holy Spirit nudges us. And this church had a global vision for the church. They were the ones that sent Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. They were a growing church. By the end of the 200s AD, the Christ followers in this region would be 250,000 believers. A leading hub in the Christian movement. This was the first place that Gentiles, non-Jewish people, came to the faith. It was the first place where they were called Christians. They were so voraciously hungry for the Word of God, for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be nudged in where God wanted them to be, to live missionally their life of faith. They had Paul, who was a theologian. He says things I don't even understand. They had Barnabas. He was an encourager. He was the pastor. But then as they are seeking the Holy Spirit in our scripture, it says the Holy Spirit speaks and says, send them out for the work I've called them to. And here we are 2,000 years later. What were they doing when the Holy Spirit gave them this next step for their lives and for their church and for their culture? They were worshiping, they were fasting, and they were praying. You know, there was a time when I was like, oh, that's a bit boring. But not so much anymore. We don't talk about fasting especially, but fasting is key, and here's why. Because becoming a Christian means learning to say no to yourself. Let me say that again. Becoming a Christian means learning to say no to yourself. When Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he or she must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's how we follow Jesus. The disciples left their nets behind. The woman at the well left her water jug behind. We have to leave something to receive something. Becoming a Christian means learning to say no to yourself. And this is where Christianity and all modern religions disagree, including some popular places that call themselves Christian churches. Modern religions and philosophies say this: God would never ask you to say no to yourself. I mean, that's the theme of Disney. Where your heart is, just fulfill your heart's dream. God would never ask you to say no to yourself. Modern takes on religion say God would never ask you to do that because God would never give you a desire that he didn't expect you to fulfill. But I've got news for you. The Bible says a lot that you have lots of desires that God does not want you to fulfill. God wants your desires to be fulfilled in him. Let me say that again. The Bible says you have a lot of desires that God does not want you to fulfill. But what God does want is for, he wants your desires to be fulfilled in him and in him alone. The way that we learn to let our spiritual desires be fulfilled in him is we say no to our physical desires. That's what fasting is. If you've ever fasted, it's a great way to learn to say no to your physical desires because your body and your mind will be shouting and cussing you out. What do you mean, no? I'm used to being the boss of you. What do you mean I'm not your boss anymore? Whatever your desires of your heart are saying to you. Here's one thing that's hit me really hard. In the last couple weeks, we've had so many weddings. First of all, we had several the day before the shutdown. And it was so beautiful to watch these young women say, this is what I need. They weren't crying about what they had lost. They said, no, this is a reminder I'm being called to marry this person, to spend our lives together with God's blessing. But in all these marriage vows that I've been saying, there's a line in there that says, in the vows that say, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him or her as long as you both shall live. We don't spend much time talking about forsaking all others, do we? And yet, how else can we be faithful to the one that we are pledging ourselves to? Fasting does that. In a way, you could consider marriage something of that. Have you forsaken anything ever that you've wanted to do or have? Because it's while the church was fasting and worshiping that the Holy Spirit spoke, and the freedom from sin, the love of God, and the message of Jesus launched from this to the world. Some of you haven't heard from God in that way. Maybe you've heard more through scripture or a message from church or being in a small group. But from time to time, God will speak audibly to you. The Holy Spirit will fill you for a task, just like in the Bible. That has not changed. Remember, the people in the Bible didn't know they were in the Bible. They were just listening to God. And some of us hardly ever say no to ourselves in order to seek God first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added unto you. And it's true, whenever the church experiences revival and awakening, the purpose is not simply to solve our own problems. Renewal actually thrusts us out of our doors to the ends of the earth. The church has been in survival mode in North America way too long, circling the wagons, preoccupied with our inner angst way too long. Some of us, as the church, have been that when there is this great global vision poured out for us by these Christ followers in Antioch. So this week, I want you to live missionally, like the Antioch church. I want us all to participate in a fast this week, like the Antioch church. And if you're not sure about everything that goes into that, maybe you can't fast from food. Fast from something. And you can't do like I used to do in Lent. Oh, I'm going to fast from my heroin habit that I didn't have, kind of thing. Make this be something meaningful, that you feel it. A fast this week. If you're not sure, at least you can do this. And I'm inviting all of us, whether we fast in other ways or not, to take a 24-hour fast from media or the news or social media, or a 24-hour fast from your phone, except for when it rings. Like, do they still do that anymore? And I want you to start your day God down. Start with the Bible. Start with prayer. Then all the stuff comes in about the injustices, about the rallies, about the subjugation of some of the rallies to the rioting and the looting, about the politics. But you're dealing, I would so much rather go through my day top down than I would first thing, what's next to my bed, my phone, because that's where my alarm is now. And what do? You check out Instagram, you check out Facebook, and then it starts to hit you. And you get all of this stress before some of us have even gotten out of bed. And then you have to spend the rest of your day lugging that around trying to pick it up. So I want you to take a fast from that. Start God down, and then you're dealing with the God through His, dealing with the stuff through His lens, versus starting world up and then saying, God, where are you in this? Secondly, after a fast, I want you to consider serious prayer time. If you have to walk when you do it, that's okay. If you need to find a less comfortable chair to do it so you stay awake, that's okay. If you need to find a comfortable one, even lying down, that's okay. But I want you to consider prayer very seriously. You think there's a time we need to be praying for our country more than what could be going on in the last couple weeks? And see where God leads you missionally coming out of that. Now, one of the things that Archie has started, and we've been doing it for the last 4 weeks, is a 24-hour prayer vigil on Wednesdays. And you can go onto our Facebook page right now and click on the link. There's also a second link there if you're like, I don't know that I can pray for 30 minutes straight or 1 hour straight, whatever time you sign up for. But there's a 60-minute breakdown of the Lord's Prayer that's also in the Facebook on our church, Dexter United Methodist Church Facebook page. Check that out. Click on sign up for a time to pray, that we can be praying from midnight to midnight, uninterrupted. I want every slot filled. Fast this week. Take prayer seriously this week. Thirdly, give of yourself this week, like the Christ followers in Antioch. Find a way to be generous this week. Lee and I give here because it's through here. You know, one of the things of COVID, we have never had the local missions and the local areas of serving and justice ministries as we have since the shutdown. It ramped us up, and I am so proud. And then live missionally. Missionally means unashamed, because we've not been given a spirit of timidity. We're not to be led around by fear, but that's what's being chucked everywhere. That's what the clickbait is, isn't it? Let the fast reset you. And begin this week. And then imagine the story that you could tell of a little year called 2020. It was a crazy one. But in 3 or 4 sentences, let me tell you what God did. Think of the missional or global difference you could make. Think of this many people engaging in fasting, in prayer, in generosity, and in missional living. Because you know, underlying every problem that is in our face and smacking us down is a spiritual problem, a heart problem. People need to know you matter to God. And you matter to me. All people are loved by God. All people are loved by God. All people are loved by God. But we don't experience that because of the second truth that Christianity talks about. All people are separated from God. All people are separated from His plan. All people are separated from one another by sin, by this brokenness, this separation. And the result keeps us isolated and keeps us ugly toward one another. It keeps us from experiencing God's love. And then that's the good news where Jesus comes in. He sent His Son for the forgiveness of sins, for new life, for redemption, for restoration of relationships. And finally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that can be applied to each of our lives. You can believe it in every cell of your body, with the core of your being. You can put your faith in Him today, and you can get this settled. And you can be led not by the news, not by your fears, but by the Holy Spirit. Think of the stories we'll tell. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your grace. Lord, we admit we are led by so many other things. We're not led by our hunger for Your Word. We ignore the Bible most of the time, it seems. Partly because so much seems like it's crashing in on so many people, Lord. We lift up everyone who's been so intensely hurt or at a loss. And instead, God, we pray that Your Spirit would make the change in people's hearts from the inside out, and that it would be lasting change in a way that only You can fulfill. Lord, some of us have not gotten into our heads that Your love is for us. We've been believing other lies. And You are calling us today to commit our lives to You. And just like those disciples in Antioch, God, we pray that You would turn us outward, that You would help us live missional lives, that You would help us seek You, Holy Spirit, that Your nudge we would respond to, the prompting to pick up the phone and call someone we would respond to, the reminder of Your Scripture speaking into our world today, we would take advantage of and study in order that we could be the love, the hope, and the faith, extensions of yours for the good of this world, that people would come to know you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.